Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're getting closer and closer to Sunday Night Football and the Commanders and the Bucks in prime time this Sunday from Raymond James Stadium. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go to the guest hotline and welcome onto the show Devin McCourty, studio analyst, NBC Sports Football Night in America, the most watched studio show in sports. Studio coverage on Sunday begins at 7:30 Eastern on NBC and on Peacock. Devin, what do you make of the matchup? Washington represented by the Commanders on the road and the Bucks playing host for the second time in 2 years as the champions out of the South.
I think it should be one of the better games of the weekend. I think you look at, I think the fun part is you look at both of these quarterbacks, and when you walk away from watching them play, you say they make all the clutch plays at the right moment. And Jaden Daniels, I know it's only a year, but when you watch him play, it's been big play after big play when it's 4th and 10 or some crazy moment that he has to step up. And Baker Mayfield, these last 2 years in Tampa, has done that, whether it's him having to scramble and drop his shoulder or throwing the pass he threw to Jalen McMillan after the penalty Sunday where he throws an absolute dime in the corner in the end zone. So I'm looking forward to just seeing these two quarterbacks duel it out at some point in the fourth quarter to see which team comes away with the win.
Devin, in your estimations, you've kind of watched this and sort of, you know, seen what Washington's done here down the stretch. It's been, with the Cowboys game kind of notwithstanding, Daniels has kind of had to put the cape on and sort of fix all the warts and the inconsistencies and the penalties and the struggles and the bad starts, et cetera. We're all kind of going, hey, that's probably not sustainable, but here they are with 12 wins in the postseason. Just what have you made of that and the expectations now for Daniels going into this huge matchup?
Yeah, man, it's no knock on any of the other rookie quarterbacks, but Jaden Daniels is the only guy where you look at his team and you say, he's the best player on the team, and if he doesn't play his absolute best, they probably won't win. And that's the truth in Washington. This guy has carried the team. Like, when they haven't played particularly well or they struggle, they look to him to get them going and to make the plays. They go down against Atlanta. It's not looking good. He makes a series of plays, whether it's scrambling buying time, whether it's scrambling to run. That's just like most of the time we sit there and we say, that's good. He did it, for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. He's a rookie. He can't do it. No, Jaden Daniels has proven he can do it. And a lot of it has to do with, I think, the amount of games he played in college. When he got to the pros, he just had to learn new vocabulary, learn a little bit about the game. And, we all know about the week one loss to Tampa. But I'm sure he sits back and he's happy about that. Because now what Tampa decides to throw at him, he studied it, he's seen it, he'll be ready for it. And I'm looking for him to play his best game. I'm not one of those guys who believes in, because you don't have playoff experience, you can't go out there and shine. You just need an opportunity to go play, and he should believe in what he's done all year and believe that he could go do it Sunday night.
Devin McCourty, NBC Sports. We saw C.J. Stroud in round one light it up last year. Brock Purdy the year before that had some success with San Francisco as a rookie quarterback. My belief on this game, when you look at Tampa Bay's struggles against running quarterbacks this year and the fact that Washington just can't run the ball traditionally in the last month or so, I think they could turn up some of the design stuff with Daniels. You maybe hesitate to do some of that during the year to try to keep him healthy. But, Devin, do you think there's a chance we could see them run him, 8, 9, 10 times design and maybe like a 15-carry game for him as he plays a little hero ball here?
Yeah, there's no tomorrow. And that's the fun part about the playoffs. Any play that they've been sitting on that they like during the regular season or they've seen somebody else run, this is the time to pull it out. And I look for him really to be dangerous in the red zone. They scored on a play against Atlanta where Jaden Daniels fakes it to Brian Robinson. Then he looks like he's going to run. They take that away, and the last minute he finds Zaccheaus in the end zone. And that's what I look for them to go to more and more within the game, not just in the red zone, but how do you take that and put it in the field and do more of that where, yes, he could keep it, but he also could throw it. And I just know as a former defender, how much pressure that puts on you. And I think about doing that within the first 15 plays of the game. Now everybody's going to get to the sideline on Tampa and Todd Bowles and those guys. They're going to be, all right, we need to do this. We need to do that. We got to. It forces the defense to prepare for so much more because he can run and throw the ball. So I think any new wrinkles, I think they should probably throw in there early in the game and then save maybe another one or two plays for the second half that possibly could be the difference in the game.
Devin McCourty with us here on G&D, and you kind of lead me to my question here, Devin. You were so good at this for so long as a member of the secondary. What kind of challenges here? You know, if you guys were prepping for Jaden Daniels this week, you touched on some of them, but go in depth here in terms of his ability to throw the ball and how long you've got to stick with a receiver. But then maybe you're worried that if you're sticking too long, now the scramble's happening because you hear the crowd. Like, go into some of that, the real challenges, especially for guys far away from the line of scrimmage like you were.
Yeah, I think about the times playing, and we used to play against, you know, Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson and those guys. It was all about keeping those guys in the pocket. And as a secondary member, I would always be reminding the guys up front, hey, keep them in the pocket. I know you want those sacks. I get it, but sacks not as important today. And I think that's the key, because if you have to cover for 8 to 10 to 12 seconds, I don't care who you have out there. I don't care if Antoine Winfield Jr. comes back and Jamel Dean. You can't cover guys for that long. So, to me, the key is all about rushing coverage. You're going to need your pass rush to be able to be disciplined. Stay in lanes. You know, we watched Jaden Daniels when he played against the Saints. They sacked him 8 times. Washington still won the game because he was still able to make some dynamic plays, because when the pressure got there, he was able to escape. But if you can force him to stay and throw every pass from in the pocket with the pocket closing in, that's the key to playing against these guys. And then you have the ability to try to make some plays down the field. And it's not saying that they can't do it. It's just that when they do the other things, scramble, buy time, get outside the pocket, you have no chance to win the game, because now they're able to do everything that they can and want to on the field, and it just leaves you at such a disadvantage.
Devin McCourty on Grant and Danny. How about the quarterback on the other side of the field, Baker Mayfield, as great a year as he had, 40-plus touchdowns, 4,000 yards, number one in interceptions, number one in turnover-worthy plays. It does feel like he's going to give you a chance to make a couple of plays with your hands on the ball.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't feel like it. He will. That's the key. That's the key to Baker Mayfield, though. It's this aggressive mentality, and I think – Tampa had to get used to it. You think back to year one of, you know, we want to run the ball, we want to do this, and Baker's there. Sometimes we need to throw the ball to open up the run game. And that's how he plays. If there's a play out there to be made, he's going to try to make it. Yes, I think as a defense, you should be out there saying, we got to be aggressive. Jeremy Chinn, Quan Martin, like, you got to be aggressive in that secondary to go make your plays. But you just got to remember, there's going to be some throws and some plays in the game that you might think he can't make. He has the confidence to do it, and he has the ability to get it done. And that's the times, I think, where Baker Mayfield catches people off guard, is they're not expecting him to do something. It's 3rd and 16. Everybody's playing deep, and then he breaks a tackle, and he runs, and he picks up a first down. And when you watch Tampa, when he does things like that, it gets their whole sideline energized. It gets them going. So that's something that you got to have to try to contain. I think both of these quarterbacks, the key is to try to contain them and do and take away some of the other things that they want to do. You got to take away Mike Evans. You can't allow Baker Mayfield to just, whenever he wants, pick up the ball and throw one-on-one to Mike Evans. You got to give him different looks. Make him figure it out post-snap and not just be able to know where he's going and drop it at his back foot and let the ball go.
Devin, you touched on it, but I'm terrified of this Tampa Bay offense here from a Washington perspective. If Joe Witt and company called you to consult, what would your plan of attack be? I mean, you have to probably live with something, right? Like, just, I don't think Washington's defense is good enough to take everything away, but what would your plan of attack be against this Tampa O?
All right, but what are you telling me? You telling me I got Marshawn Lattimore?
Yes.
Okay, if I got Marshawn Lattimore, I'm saying, hey, Marshawn, remember that guy from the NFC South that you used to go at it? I need you to get in his head and play the game you've always played against Mike Evans, attack mode. And that's why I love when Washington has him, because I know the Philadelphia game with A.J. Brown, people were like, oh, A.J. Brown did. But, like, if you really break down and watch that game, Lattimore had about 3 or 4 pass breakups, 2, I think, on third down. Like, that's the competitive nature that allows me to take my other 10 guys and say, okay, this is how we're going to play the game. And to play that game, I would always want Bucky Irvin surrounded. I would tell everybody, when he gets the ball in the run game, he's at the point of attack. When he's able to go and get in a route, I would want whatever linebacker has him, I want you to stay outside. The other linebacker, we're not going to be able to help everybody. I want you to stay inside. If Bucky Irvin brings us back inside, you got to be ready to match him and take him out, and we're going to be two-on-one right there. And then for everybody else, we got to hold up. We're going to mix coverages in there, some man, some zone, some blitz. We're going to keep it moving on Baker Mayfield so that they can't get in a rhythm, that Liam Cohen on the sideline can't get in a rhythm on how to call the plays. And we're going to just mix match it all game. But the key for me is Lattimore on Evans being able to move everybody else out, letting Sanders still play against the number two, letting him play against McMillan, like letting that happen and him not having to always be on a bigger guy like Mike Evans, I think will allow Washington. I think Frankie Louvo's a guy that needs to be big for them. Third down, pass rushing and coverage, doing so many different things, being that kind of Swiss Army knife that just does a lot of different things out there.
Devin McCourty, studio analyst, NBC Sports, Football Night in America, the most watched studio show in all of sports. What is your favorite game? And we'll go outside of Commanders Bucks in the event that that was your one seed. But the rest of the slate, what do you like the most for round one?
The other two games I really like, I like Green Bay going to Philly. I think Green Bay is one of those teams that, yes, Philly's a favorite. They should be the favorite. But Green Bay's like this team that when they come out, if they're playing a certain way and they're hot, it's a scary game. And I think Buffalo and Denver. Denver's obviously going to have to go to Buffalo. Tough environment to play in. Rookie quarterback and all of that. But they have a defense that travels. They can rush the passer. They can go. Now, the key will be them holding up in man-to-man defense down the end of this stretch of this season. They haven't been as good in pass coverage, so that'll be a key part that they have to do a good job of. But those two games I'm looking forward to being games that, you know, I think the favorite should handle it, but those two games I think could go any way and surprise us.
Dev, this is great to catch up with you, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. Good luck.
You got it. Thank you. Crush it on NBC. We'll be watching Football Night in America. Before we get to the NFL games on Saturday, Sunday, when Devin will be on the broadcast, and Monday, we kick off what is the first two of five consecutive days of playoff football tonight with the first of a couple of semifinals in the college playoffs. And to discuss the first of the two games that kicks off here in a couple of hours, Matt Youmans of VSiN joins us on Grant and Danny. Matt, thank you for the time, we appreciate it. You got Notre Dame and Penn State tonight, just like we all expected and drew up. What do you think?
Hey, great to be on. And, yeah, I agree. These 5 days are going to be great, five straight days of football. And I'll tell you what, the funniest thing I've seen today on Twitter is a photo of Tom Brady with Mark Davis's haircut. Have you guys seen that?
I have not, but that's perfect.
No, but I'm actually going to look for that now.
I can send it to you. Anyway, here's what I think. The betting market right now is on there's a lot of steam on Penn State, and you're seeing the Nittany Lions flip to the favorites in this game. But I also think it might be a bit of an overreaction to the report that several Notre Dame players have the flu, and there was an outbreak of the flu in the locker room. From what I understand, it doesn't impact any of their key players. So I don't want to overreact to that. I do think that Irish is going to struggle to win this game tonight. And a little over a month ago, the one to win the national championship, and then again at 10-1. And that's kind of my bet riding on this game tonight. But I don't have a lot of confidence in Notre Dame getting the job done. And my biggest concern here is the Notre Dame offense is really struggling to produce explosive plays. And when you look at Riley Leonard in the Georgia game, he had 90 yards passing on 24 attempts. And Jeremiah Love, an NFL starter soon, he's got obviously a bum knee, and he was pretty ineffective against Georgia, so I don't know why he's going to be able to do tonight. So where do the big plays come from within the Notre Dame offense? I'm not really sure. So the Irish had to win the Georgia game with special teams, that 98-yard kickoff return for a touchdown, field goal kicker was on the money three times, and defense, obviously, with the sack and strip of Gunner setting up a touchdown. A lot of breaks went Notre Dame's way in that game. I would like to be a little bit more optimistic about the Irish tonight, but I'm not. I did play Penn State on a teaser early in the week. I've said many times the way I played this was Penn State plus 8 on a teaser, and I've got Ohio State pick them on the other side. So from the Penn State perspective, you've got more playmakers, more options. You've got two stud running backs in Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. Drew Aller is improving as a quarterback. I know he's had some spotty performances throughout his career, but I actually kind of like the way he's playing now. You got Tyler Warren, arguably top tight end, one of the top two or three tight ends in college football. And then Abdul Carter's back in the defense, and he's a difference maker, kind of like the Micah Parsons of that Penn State defense. So the one thing that's got to concern you if you're playing Penn State is big game James Franklin, who is, 2-16 in the underdog role, and is he going to find a way to screw it up? Is he going to his decision-making in crunch time going to be a problem? Well, I still think even if the Irish win the game, it's going to be by a narrow margin. I cannot see Notre Dame winning this game by double digits, and that's why I think Penn State plus 8 on the teaser was the way to go. So, I also played under the total of 45. Not as big a bet, but I did play under 45. I think it's going to be kind of a grinder like the Notre Dame-Georgia game was.
That's what I was going to ask you about, Matt. The other semifinal game, over-under is around 55 points, depending on where you look. This one feels like more of a defensive slog to me. I don't know if either offense can really hum tonight. How good are these defenses, and are they going to be on full display this evening?
Well, Notre Dame defense is elite, but then again, a little bit thinner on the defensive line, right? And you got some injuries that have weakened this ND defense a little bit. Still, it might be the best defense in college football, averaging, allowing just over, 13.5 points a game. Really locked down the Indiana offense, where Indiana looked impotent on offense. It was kind of a joke until the last couple minutes of that game. Notre Dame, the best thing that happened at Irish this season was losing that Northern Illinois game, right? As a 27-point favorite, you lose by 2 at home. You're the laughingstock of college football. Well, since then, the Irish got back on track, and they've won 12 in a row and just blown out opponents. Well, the defense has been dominant. I don't know if the defense is going to be dominant tonight, because I think Penn State can really beat you in different ways, or at least move the ball in different ways. When you look at Allen and Singleton, who have who combined for over 220 yards rushing in the Big Ten championship game against Oregon and had about the same number last week in Penn State's victory over Boise. So I think what you're going to see is both teams primarily trying to move the ball on the ground. And what's that mean? A running clock. You got two sturdy defenses that are not going to give up a lot of big plays. So you got to grind out drives. And that's why I think the under is probably a pretty good bet here too. I think this is going to be a 2017-23-20 type of game.
Little over an hour and 15 or so from closing in on kick. Capital One Orange Bowl tonight. Penn State, Notre Dame, 6-7 of the 12 seeds that started these playoffs. In the other semifinal, you alluded to Ohio State and your play there. They've got Texas. Texas had a harder road here, frankly, believe it or not. I mean, they barely survived Arizona State, whereas Ohio State just dominated Tennessee and then made pretty quick work of Oregon off of Oregon's bye. But now there's been a little bit of a layoff. I mean, is it possible that Ohio State slows back down offensively? Do you think Texas, with that strong defense, can give them a run? What do you like there?
So I have a hard time envisioning Ohio State losing the game. And I really think the Buckeyes got their swagger back. More importantly, they got their play calling right, because in the Michigan game, it was one of the dumbest game plans I've ever seen by Ryan Day and Chip Kelly. They got tight. They felt like against Michigan, they felt like we got to be tougher. We got to out-tough Michigan. We're going to play bully ball, caveman football. We're going to run it up the gut, and we're going to beat them on the offensive and defensive lines. That's not the way Ohio State should have played that Michigan game. And Chip Kelly called 19 inside runs between the guards for 18 yards. Just ridiculous. Played right into Michigan's hands. So what Ohio State's got to do, and what the Buckeyes got back to in the last two games against Tennessee and Oregon, get the ball out the space to your playmakers. You know, you've got two of the best wide receivers in college football, two of the better running backs there in Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. Get the ball in space to those guys. Let them make plays and open it up. Don't be so conservative. Don't run the ball into the line 20 times like Chip Kelly did against Michigan. And what do you see? Buckeyes blew out Tennessee. They just embarrassed Oregon. I don't know about you guys, but I never could have fathomed the number one undefeated team in college football be down 34-0 in the second quarter. There's going to be some regression a little bit. The Ohio State offense probably not going to be quite as explosive in this game. But on the flip side, here's why I have trouble seeing Texas winning it. Longhorns, we talked a lot about their elite defense, but is it really elite? Because they played a softer SEC schedule. You know, caught Michigan in the non-conference. We know how miserable Michigan's offense was this season. So I think a lot of those defensive numbers for Texas were, let's say, deflated. Like offensive numbers get inflated. Those were deflated defensive numbers that weren't as impressive as they probably looked on paper. Cade Klubnik and Clemson rolled into Austin and put up 412 total yards, and Klubnik passed for like 360. Then against Arizona State, the Sun Devils outgained Texas 5-10 to 375. And again, you had a freshman quarterback who lights up the Texas defense for 300 yards passing. So, and Cam Scatabo was unstoppable for the most part. I'm not sure the Texas defense is that great. And you know what? I'm also not sure Quinn Ewers has been pretty erratic, has enough playmakers to trade punches with the Buckeyes for four quarters. Because you're going to have to trade shots. Trade big shots with an Ohio State offense that's not going to get stopped a lot. And that's why I think Ohio State eventually wears Texas out and wins the game. I lean towards laying the 5.5, but I played Ohio State on the money line, and I played Ohio State on a teaser.
Matt, great info, man. Really appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight and the rest of the weekend as well.
Okay, you bet. Thanks, guys.
Be good. There's Matt Youmans, VSiN. Like to check in with him ahead of these big college football games where everyone's suddenly no longer just casual, but getting in and making their bets and enjoying the games tonight and tomorrow. I like Ohio State a ton. I've gone back and forth a million times, Notre Dame, Penn State. I think it's more likely that Penn State wins.
That's what it feels like to me, but I can't prove it.
I'm pulling for Notre Dame, though. I think that would be really cool. It really doesn't matter. I think either of those teams is going to get worked by Ohio State in the national championship.
So if Ohio State, by the way, none of the top four seeds made it. So just, you know, you kind of look at that and you go, maybe it worked. Maybe the machine is good. We want a tournament, right? Instead of just one versus two.
I just think the seeding thing didn't work.
Yeah, it was hard. I mean, Oregon would have been everyone's number one seed, but they got boat raced, to Matt's point, by Ohio State. If Ohio State doesn't win the whole thing, who does? That's Texas. My question for you. You think Texas? Because they beat them?
Yeah. Texas would beat them, so I know they're in the final. And now it's Texas against either of those two teams, and I think they'd be favored over either. Maybe a pick 'em against Notre Dame, maybe. But I think they... Man, that's tough. I think they would probably be a couple-point favorite over both. But it'd be a much more similar game. Notre Dame would be a better matchup, I think. Like, all three of those are really defensive-minded.
Yeah.
But I think... No, Texas is like Notre Dame with some better athletes, in my opinion.
That's right. Just more of them.
Certainly throw the ball a little bit better on days where Ewers has his game. Linnell's got overtime coming up right here on The Fan. We should remind everybody one last time. Tomorrow's show, Football Friday, and a Field Trip Friday, is out and about out of the studio. We want to go hang out with you guys. We're going to be at Hyde Social, which is an awesome bar in Clarendon in Arlington. You can watch the show from start to finish with us if you want. You can get drinks and food and hang out. It's going to be really fun. Bunch of fans getting ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, throwing it back to my early 20s, hanging out on a Friday in Clarendon, baby. Let's do this. Me and some JMU frat guys. I'm doing some shtick. Of course, I'm all in. Cannot wait. Cannot wait to check this place out. It's right there, right in the heart of Clarendon at Clarendon Boulevard in Highland. You will see us out there if you come hang.
Caps tickets on the show tomorrow as well. We're giving away right at 4 o'clock ahead of the Blitz. And we will get you ready for the one remaining semifinal game in college football. We'll break down tonight's game and then a full preview of all the NFL action this weekend, including everything you need to know about Commanders Bucks. Thanks for listening. We're back at 2 for Darris, Toby, and Ryan, Grant, and Danny. Saying so long, Linnell is next.
Thank you for coming.